Okay, everybody, welcome to the Area 10 celebration of our co-founder Ray Z and her life and her service in CA How. This is being recorded, and I will give out the recording playback number in a minute and again at the end. And let's see. We are going to have a few speakers, invited speakers, and then we're going to open it up for 3-minute open sharing. Our first speaker will be taking questions after his share. And we have a timekeeper, which is Beth. So after we'll ask each speaker how they want their time timed, and then, but the open sharing, Beth will say, add a 2-minute, 1 minute left, and then please wrap it up so you get your 3 minutes. It will not be leaving phone numbers at all. At the end, when the recording is stopped, if people would like to leave the numbers once the recording is stopped, that will be fine, but not now. So, we are here to celebrate our co-founder, Ray Z, and next week is her birthday. She normally did not celebrate her birthday on the day of. She saved that for her family, so in a way it's appropriate we're celebrating a week early. And having said all that, I introduce our first speaker, Richard, who knew Ray for many years. He's from the Ray Z Southern California Intergroup. I call it the Ray Z Intergroup. Southern California Intergroup, and he knew her very well for a long time. Richard, take it away, and how would you like your time timed? Star 628.
I guess 5 and 5, please.
Okay. You got that, Beth? Okay. Here's Richard. Thank you for sharing.
Yes, I do. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi.
Beth. Thank you.
Hello, everybody. My name is Richard C., and I came into the program through OA in, 1982. Many years later, I had mixed success in OA, but I understood that I was an addict. My partner and I, Ted, ultimately came into program when he met Ray Z about 1996 and 1999. We joined How in March of 1999, and our abstinence dates go back to that time. It's almost 20 years. Ray Z is kind of an amazing person, but I think sometimes we elevate people. You know, we look in history like Bill W. and Dr. Bob. They weren't gods. They were humans, and they had these character defects that caused them to seek recovery. Ray's the first one to recognize that she had work to do in her life, and the testament to how program can work in a person's life is that she reached 97 years, and she had significant health issues. She came from a big family, 9 siblings from different parents, mixed parentage, had very profound challenges socially. She had been, because her mother had died when she was 3 and a half, there were 9 children in the home in Chicago. The neighbors were in an uproar. Two of the oldest daughters were trying to care for them. The father was present but semi-present. So the neighbors got together and reported the family to social services, and they were all placed in the Marks Mason home, where they had orphanage placements in and out and foster parentage. At the time that she did this long pitch that I read and I edited in 2002, there were only 4 siblings of the original 9 left. They were all in their 90s. She had an interesting journey. She, like many of us, she had issues of codependency. Her growing up in an orphanage caused her to have deep resentments. And she never was loved in a traditional way, but she was cared for. She will always admit that she's grateful that she had a good life. She was raised. People cared for her. They fed her. She was never hungry. And people gave her guidance around her foster parents. But it was a mixed bag because she was like a stepchild. And that caused her to be very needy. And she always gravitated toward situations, including her marriage to her husband, because she idealized what he thought he had. And ultimately, she had more work to do, codependency, recovery, and she struggled with her weight, like a lot of us do. She always used carbohydrates and foods as a girl in the orphanage and in her foster care environments to manage her feelings, like we all do, and she'll admit that. She struggled in and out. Ultimately, she had a heart attack in her late 50s. She had a colostomy and Crohn's disease, and she had a resection of her colon. Ultimately, she had some melanoma. She's had a lot of health issues, but in spite of it, She was able to bounce back and recover each time, and a lot of that she attributes is the way she ate. But she also had a lot of work to do in her life, and for being 97, Ted and I, like a handful of people who would take her to meetings, she did not drive. And when her husband, when Julius passed away in 99, she really depended on the bus service in Santa Fe Springs and her friends in Howe that became her surrogate family to pick her up and take her. So we would hear bits and pieces of her family story. And it was kind of intriguing. And she, for a person of that age, my own father's 95, and he's never done a lot of his work. He has a lot of emotional baggage of an elderly person at that range. And but Ray could always work on her positivism. She could always be grateful. She had the philosophy that we base our recovery on, and that she worked it. So when she had stinking thinking, as she called it, she would work on it. She'd process it. And she would talk to people in program. She did this work on a daily basis. And she had a sense of humor. And sometimes she had a bad attitude, and she wanted to throw it all away, which is something I can identify with. But then she would pick it all up and do it again. And so she maintained an abstinence of like 35 years and a significant weight loss through that period that was very stable. And I don't think she would have had the health that she had. And she wouldn't have dealt with the life changes from a 60-year marriage with her husband and then the loss of her younger son.
5 minutes.
And then she had grandchildren, and then she weathered these storms, and she learned to be a widow, and she learned to ask for help. But she always thought about the purpose in her life. She didn't want to be a burden to her family. She wanted to keep her independence. People who know her, she was voraciously independent and resistant to being controlled. That was part of the conditioning that comes out of orphanages and foster care, that she did not want people to tell her what to do. And so she was... That independent streak plus recovery plus the ability to ask for help was interesting because she did lean on people, but she was also very grateful. And she didn't carry a lot of resentments. She worked on her resentments, even in her late years. So when I go to my own father, who has baggage, and he had a wonderful life. He's still alive, but he carries the baggage of time. And she had worked on her baggage. She'd always unpack it and work it through. And was gracious. And that was a great lesson, because even in our late years, we can still be well, and we can be happy. And it's a, acceptance and surrendering is a huge part. Maybe the last on this little short pitch I'll say is, in the program, I edited, boiled down the essence of what I took from my experience with Ray, and it was on the inside leaf of the program from our September memorial. And these are in her words. It's much gratitude. This is Ray speaking. I have had a good life, including the orphanage and the foster parents. I was never hungry. I was never cold. I was always clothed. I didn't like where I came from, but I am peaceful today. It's only because I have a higher power. Fred insisted that I write a complete and thorough inventory exercise, being a critical tool of resilient recovery, speaking to the importance of participating and sustaining your own abstinence. When I don't want to share, this is Ray talking, and speak, and I don't want to do service, I'll eat. Then I would choose to retreat back into myself, and I don't have to do anything. Remember that I have done it all. I've tried it all. Everything else, too. Know that when I sponsor someone at their 15th day of abstinence, halfway to 30 days, I ask them, what and how are you intending to give back? Going to serve coffee, set up chairs, greet people at the door? There's a lot of service you can and must do in order for how to be sustained and to go forward. We will not live nor our program thrive without service to others. We will be destroyed if we don't render service. You're not going to keep your program or your recovery if you don't provide service. Know that this service got me here. God got me to here. Please never say, Ray said this and Ray said that. It's simply not true. If you have a problem, go to the big book. Go to your sponsor. Go to your higher power. Ray is just a compulsive overeater trying to stay well, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. In her words, I do all the same work you do. I don't know any more than you do either. And just because I'm a co-founder doesn't mean a darn thing. I'm one bite away. I am a food addict. And it is the patience and love that we all need. This is all it is. Ray Z. But it was remarkable. And, you know, she's not a paragon, she's not a saint, but she's a lovely person who worked a good recovery, and she was vulnerable, And she had her baggage, but she worked on her baggage. She'd unpack it and work it through it. And that was a really good model. And she liked structure. Structure empowered her. She understood the power of self-discipline and structure, but also self-love. And she didn't try to shove the program in on her family. She had, one of the sons had issues with weight and health, and she never tried to shove it down their throats. She accepted that they were their own people, and that she sometimes was concerned that even though they could have benefited from some of these tools, she wouldn't nag. She accepted them as they were, and she accepted her family of origin plus her family of selection, which we have in our rooms. We select the family we want or need. We don't always get the family we really want. We get the ones we're born into, but then we can come into the rooms and select our own family of our own choosing, which is a bit of grace from God. So I'll probably stop there. That's probably a good stopping point. How much time is left?
Yeah, how much time is left, Beth?
30 seconds.
Okay, good. That was good.
Perfect timing. I want to thank Richard, but now, if anybody has a question, it's star 6 to unmute. Please keep it brief. Okay, I have a question, and
sure.
Then maybe someone else will have a question. I've heard, you know, a couple of things, but why was Ray considered our co-founder?
She did not start this program, but Fred started... He did the writing for the format, and he started in Florida, but the meeting that she had attended in OA had moved from its home and to Bethesda Hospital in Maryland, and she was in the process of, she had had limited success in OA, but like a lot of us, she gamed the flexibility of the OA program because it had a lot of flexibility in it, and then she needed more structure, but she had heard that many of the remnant people from Chicago had moved to Bethesda, Maryland program called HOW, and that Fred was kind of the proponent of that. And so she attached to Fred as a sponsor, and they talked about it, and then she completed her first 30 days with a female sponsor and then with Fred, and then she brought it out to California because she had to. Because it worked for her, because she would game the OA system. And it wasn't OA's problem. She didn't blame OA. It was her own manipulative mind. So she wanted to carry, there was no how in California, but OA was very strong when she came out 35 years ago into Santa Fe Springs. So they started a nascent meeting in her home. She started to eat. She came out here and got the OA phone numbers and attended OA and put on 30 pounds, and then it wasn't working. And then she hooked up a low-cost telephone line to Fred in Florida, and he sponsored her. They co-sponsored each other, and they started to structure. In her home, she had hosted a few meetings, and she would go to the local OA meetings in Downey, and she would stand up on a Monday night. I remember meeting her before in the 80s when she would do this, but I didn't know who she was because I was doing OA sporadically. And she would stand up and she'd pitch to these people in the room. She says, I have something else we're doing in my home. If you're interested, talk to me. And then they'd shut her down. She was stubborn. And so she knew she needed the structure. So she imported this program and started some, got a few interested people, one person, and then slowly two, three, and four other women in her own home. And that started the original Downey meeting, and then it was moved to the Coast Bank. The Stonewood Shopping Center upstairs bank, which is people who remember that's the old Sunday night meeting. But that's how it started. She imported it because she needed it. And Fred helped her with the early retreat and development of the materials. And she really wanted the structure that this program offered and the discipline. Old OA, she said, had this discipline. But then it became political and they set aside the original gray sheet, and they had a dignity of choice. And she kind of quipped in her writing. She said, you know, you give me the dignity of choice of changing my meal every day, I will. That's no choice at all. I need the structure. So she liked the abstinent pitching structure. She liked the weighing and measuring, the food choices, and she needed it. And she felt others would benefit from it. And that's how they brought it here and started in her home, and that became the seed for At its high point would have been about 225 meetings in this intergroup, which ultimately split up into maybe six or eight other intergroups.
Thank you, Richard. Yes, it was my understanding that Fred said since you started it in California, then you're the co-founder, and a lot of people did not know that. Does anyone else have any other questions for Richard?
This is Beth.
Hi, Beth. Go ahead.
Hi, Richard. Thank you for sharing about your experience with
Rezi.
Can you elaborate, based on your knowledge, about how the tools came about or how Rezi influenced the tools, especially focusing on service as one of the service tools?
Give me a moment to flash. I could have. I'm having to go back to this edited document of the long pitch from 2002. There's about 11 pages, but as I when I go back, toward the end of the document. So she, let's see, because she understood the self-help value and that the nature of 12-step is about self-help and peer support. And that she understood that. She wasn't, I would not say that Ray was a highly educated or sophisticated person, but she was an intuitive learner and very thoughtful. Had a very sharp mind, and she was streetwise. She would call herself very streetwise. Because she grew up in foster care and had itinerant education, she was informal in her knowledge, but she had a good sense of people and of how things worked, what worked better, what did not. But she understood, and she understood from the AA program, that you had to do service and get out of yourself, because a huge piece of our disease is about self-centeredness. And that we're preoccupied with self, and we're preoccupied with what we don't get. And that we worry a lot about what we don't get, and we're never grateful for what we have. We're always looking back or looking forward. They get more, we get less. We're always judging and comparing. And when we're in our disease, we do that especially, so that you have to do service. I'm trying to find a quote here. Yeah, see, let me underscore. I'm Dr. Providence. I'm streetwise. So early on, when even as an anecdote, our first retreat occurred at Big Bear. This is back over 35 years ago. I told you that when I went to school to become something in the business world without a complete education, I am streetwise, though. We got this place in Big Bear. We shoved in 400 attendees. The more money I could make for the new Howe organization, the more money I wanted to make. Tight quarters, though. This facility had provided only cold food. It was held during the cold outdoor season. Guests had to sleep in bunk beds. The guests themselves had to vacuum and clean the rooms and bus tables. This was the first retreat, and wash our own dishes. It was terrible. I didn't like this. I like a private room and a bathroom, all because I never had it as a child, and I want and expect it now. Fred S. and I did the Big Bear event together. He came in from Florida to do the event with us. He thought he might not attend as planned. I told him that 400 tickets were already sold. We were committed. If he had not been able to help facilitate this first event, our organization would be done for. He did come through. He was my sponsor, and I needed him. It's the idea that no matter what, it's like, what can I do for you? And that, she really stresses that. She understands that she can't do things alone, but she can be an advocate, and that was her strength. She was the advocate for this organization in its growing period. And she was the engine for that. But, you know, I hope that answers in a general way. It's just hardwired in that she understood that she was helped by others, even though she didn't like the way she was helped in the orphanage. And she turned that perspective into gratitude. And then the way to get her out of her preoccupied self and bitterness was to turn her attention outward. What can I do for you? She would always say that. And that we have to have a purpose beyond, I'm going to be rude and say what I think she meant, but she never said it in these words, but we have to have a purpose beyond consuming and defecating. We're humans, we have brains, we have hearts, we have purpose, and we're not just consuming food and defecating and sustaining ourselves. We're supposed to do something with our energy, our time, our treasure, our creativity. And she really believed that. And then she would always ask people I read, she would, you know, so what are you going to do? At 15 days, she'd hustle her sponsees. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You're going to make coffee? You're going to call people? You have to get out of yourself to be happy. And she understood that. Because as she lost Julius, at the end of her life, the last 20 years, she still had to externalize her attention outward, or she'd be in the pity pot. And she would tell us that. She said, if I didn't go to meetings, we used to take her to one last meeting she would attend every week, and Sunday in Whittier. And if I didn't go to meetings, Richard, if I didn't see you boys, I didn't get out of the house, I'm a bitch on Mondays, and my son doesn't want to talk to me. So she had a sense of humor. She said, no, I'll be a bitch, and I'll be very nasty with people, and I don't want to do that. So I'm going to get out of myself even now. It's only one meeting a week, and I'm still going to be around and meet people, and then I feel better about myself.
Thank you. Are there any other questions?
Thank you, Richard.
Sure.
Any other questions for Richard?
Richard, this is Lily. I'm trying to remember what date was that first retreat, because I went to a retreat early in Seahaw. I've been in Seahaw since 1988. I wonder if that was the first retreat, because I was with Fred S. and with Ray Z. So what year was that first retreat? Do you know?
In the document that I cited and drafted this draft from, the edited abridgment, it doesn't say a year, but I'm thinking, I'm looking through this, 1996, 1988, intergroup, 87. So I'm thinking it was in the 80s. It was probably San Bernardino. I know it was San Bernardino.
Well, it was in Big Bear. There was a retreat in Big Bear with Fred S. and Ray Z.
Right.
And I was a newbie. I was maybe a year in program. I'm trying to think if that was the first one, because O.A. Howe had not, I mean, it started three or four years
right.
before I came in.
Right.
So I'm wondering if that was the first one, because I was fortunate enough to be at the last, put together the last Fred S. retreat. I'm sorry?
Do you remember doing the... having to bust your own tables and clean up after yourselves and do your own...
Oh, yeah, we slept on bunk beds, and it was cold. It was cold.
There.
I'm just wondering if that was actually the first retreat, because
So what I can look at, there's not a timeline, a formal timeline, but she moved out to California about 83, I would say. And then her son had kidney surgery, and then they went back to Chicago with him to help him recover, and they had 30 days there, and they came and finished moving back out. So 83, it's probably within a couple years of starting, so 85, 86, I'm guessing, something like that.
I wasn't in Howe in 86. I was in Howe in 88, but I went to a retreat very early on.
Right, it could have been sometime around the late 80s.
I just wondered if there had been any other. It's just interesting to me, only mm-hmm. because I was with both of them, and it was incredible. Just marvelous.
Sure.
It was very, very, but I'm a mountain person, so it wasn't hard on me. I mean, I backpack and everything, so I was just very rustic.
I remember the retreats that I came to my first retreat in 1999-2000, and it was when she was contracting with the old Reverend Schuler's retreat center that was in Capistrano.
The retreats
I attended were in the Capistrano Retreat Center, owned by Robert Schuler from the Crystal Cathedral, which is now the Cathedral of the Catholic Diocese in Orange County, but it was Crystal Cathedral, and she contracted and would have an agreement, a gentleman's agreement or gentlelady's agreement with Schuler's organization to use the Capistrano Retreat Center, but that was in the 90s. That was late 90s.
Yeah. Well, personal curiosity, because I was part of getting the last Fred S. retreat together, that was in 1999, the Big Book retreat.
Sure.
So I just wondered if I had actually been able to go to the first one and the last one. It's just a personal.
You're very possible.
So thanks a lot.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, my pleasure.
Thank you, Lily.
Thanks for that great share about Ray Z. There was a lot of information there that I didn't know. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you, Lily. Any other questions for Richard? This is the time to ask. He knows a lot. It's star 6 to unmute.
And I would encourage you to call World Service or email World Service and talk to Pamela. And she has this document. It's a good 11 pages. I boiled it down from a 20-page transcript, and it's readable. You can actually follow You see her journey, and you can see where she's been and what she did, and it's anecdotal, but it's thorough, because there's things that before reading the source document and editing it, I didn't know. I'd only heard peripherally references to things, but I really understand a lot more about who she is, and she speaks frankly.
Richard, this is Elizabeth. I just wanted to know, Compulsive Eater, of course, will they put that out for people who want to read it?
Yeah.
That would be awesome if they could do that, and then people would know when it's ready and prepared, and we can go ahead and order it.
Pamela, who does world service in Glendale or Long Beach. I'm trying to think where it's at now. I think it's in Glendale. World Service is on Glendale Boulevard, I believe. And Pamela in World Service office can send you the document. It's a nice document, and it reads well. You can actually follow along. There's a couple errata. There was a point where Ray says her son was 17. There's no way her son was 17 when Julius was drafted. I think her son was a toddler. But she, you know, I cited her quote, and it's just one piece of errata. But there's it's called the Michiana, which is Indiana and Michigan Retreat 2002, and she has it. She can send it to you.
Yes, if you send an email to gso@cahow.org, World Service will send out the text of Raisi's story.
A PDF. Mm-hmm. You could print it out.
Yeah. And gso@cahow.org.
.org. Mm-hmm. And ask for the Raisi
story.
Yeah, thank you.
Right.
And
thank
I know
you.
That C.A. Howe is doing a oral history of the pioneers. I don't know what they're going to do with it. I hope it'll be in written form because we'll see what happens, but this is available for anybody who wants it.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Richard. It was wonderful. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Any other questions for Richard? Okay, thank you, Richard, and I thank you because you shared a lot of good information about Ray Z. And
oh, my pleasure.
Thank you. Go ahead, Cheryl.
Please, just a small anecdote. I was at the World Service conference a couple years ago, and we were sitting outside in the lobby, and Ray Z was there, and we were complaining about one of the meetings we had. And she'd used her famous line, "We'll just go open another meeting." So we made a commitment to her right then and there that we would. And we came back. We started working on another meeting.
Bingo. Yeah, because she was, you know, this is following on her nature. She's kind of anti-authoritarian. She resented social workers. She resented people who told her what to do. And she was virulently independent. She got into a big fight with the OA founder because they were threatening her that she was trying to destroy OA, and she said, no, this is just another avenue of growth for people who struggle with weight, and it's not to destroy anything, it's just, I needed this for me, I needed it for my recovery, so I'm going to do it. And so it's, in Yiddish we call it chutzpah. You know, she had the chutzpah to assert herself, and that's important. In the big book, in the 12 and 12, it says we don't scrape or grovel in front of anybody. Because a lot of us come from codependency, and so we feel worthless. No, you're not worthless. You're a child of God. You know, and it's we stand up for ourselves, and we negotiate. We get what we need, and we don't victimize. We're self-victimized, and we certainly don't victimize other people. So that's all part of recovery. That's all part of the spectrum of recovery that we work from, I believe. And she asserted that.
Thank you, Richard. And let's move on to our next speaker. Our next speaker is Leanne.
Thank you,
Richard.
Hi.
Hi. How would you like your time? You have 10 minutes.
I don't know that I'll have 10 minutes because I'm grateful Richard covered so much. I'd like to share some things, and if you want to give me a one-minute notice, I don't think it'll be that long.
Okay. I think Beth has to. Oh, thank you. Go ahead, Leanne.
Okay. I met Ray Z early in my recovery at the Downey meeting at the bank, and I only could describe her as tiny but mighty, and she would always come up and talk to people and ask them, what step are you working on? What step are you working on currently? And people were kind of taken aback by it at times until they got to know who she was. I think she emulated Walk Softly, but Carry a Big Stick. And she carried a lot of clout. I remember my mother meeting her, and that was also at that meeting. And they became quite good friends. My mother was born near Chicago and was raised in that state near there. And so they had a lot of things that they could talk about. They were very similar in age. And they talked about who was going to outlive who. And so my mother got to be quite close. And we would go down to the office and pick up literature. So my mother would sit and talk to her while I'd go in the back and get the literature, and then I would come out, and they would just be deep in conversation. And I'll not forget one time when we were there, there was a phone call that came in. And he said to this man that was on the phone to her, he'd only been in the program a few days, and he called to tell her he was starving. And she said, honey, we're all starving. Get over it. And, you know, that's just her nature. But she had a good heart. And she had a kind soul. And she taught me early on, we all need to be loved and accepted. Another time I was in the office, she was on the phone to someone, and I heard her say, wait a minute. You started that meeting. That's a good meeting. If they're not happy, you tell them to go find another location and start another meeting. And, you know, she had her opinions, but she was kind, she was thoughtful, and I never knew her to say an unkind word to anyone. The fact that we're having several memorials for her, I often think, what would she be thinking? Because she always said that she was a part of, one of, and a part of many. And she didn't want to be a standout, because she wanted to be a part of the group, not above the group or below the group. And she wanted everyone else to have the same feeling. So I try and remember that, and I wonder what her thoughts would be today, knowing how many, many people have been touched just by what she did, how she acted, and how she lived. I did not have the opportunity to ever go to her home for a meeting, but I did have the opportunity to have many conversations with her. And I did talk to her on the phone quite often. I want to close with something that just, to me, is the essence of who she stands for in my life. I have an English ivy plant that is a descendant from a plant that was grown in Lois Wilson's front yard. And it was a cutting that was taken from there. And from that, other people have gotten pieces of that cutting. And they've grown theirs. And I have a huge bush that has come from the cutting that I was given. And it's been nurtured and tended. And that's the way we grow in our abstinence And this is how she carried the message. She took a cutting from her life, and she's passed it on to each and every one of us. And I think today, because service was so important to her, and I know why, that it's our obligation to nurture and to grow that cutting to keep this program alive, because that's how this program grows. We take little bits and little pieces from what is already provided, and we nurture it, and we let it grow, and we pass it on. We pass it on by giving the service and the love and the caring. And it's not the iron fist. It's the love and the understanding. What a gift to have known this lady. I happen to be one of the people that was at the intergroup meeting when Hal separated from OA. And she stood up in that meeting and she said, "We will survive. We will be successful. And we will recover." And I never forgot it. It was the first intergroup meeting I ever went to. And it was one that I will never forget. What a gift. What a gift I had in meeting this lady and being able to pass on what I have learned from her. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Leanne. I'm calling now on Sheila J.
Hey, Susie, yes.
How would you like your 10 minutes?
Let's do 7 and 3, please. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. And everyone, please mute
yourself.
It's
really good to be on the call with everybody. And thank you, Richard and Leanne. And I so look forward to hearing what other people have to share and then hearing everyone else's input at the end. And thank you so much, Susie, my wonderful, wonderful sponsor, for moderating this and putting this all together. And I'm just so grateful. Grateful to be here. And, you know, I my interactions with Ray were so informed by what my experience had been. And I also had started in Overeaters Anonymous and then found my way into CEA How, but I was a slipper. I was a slipper in OA, and I continued to slip when I got into How. And all that meant is I just wasn't ready to feel the feeling. And I'd been molested when I was a child by a couple different men on numerous occasions. And again, it wasn't a moral issue. And it wasn't because I wasn't willing or I didn't have a sponsor or go to meetings or any of those things. I just wasn't ready to feel the feelings. And I finally got abstinent. And one of the things, because I'd been slipping in How for years, and any time I would slip, I would get assigned to do those slip questions. And I had gotten sober and stayed sober. I'd been clean and sober in AA for 31 years, and I, you know, came into the food program shortly thereafter. But I'd been doing it in one program where I was seemingly doing it right, and then in this food program where I was struggling, right? And again, I would get back into the food and I'd get sent to those slip questions, and that never made any sense to me, given what my experience had been in Alcoholics Anonymous and in learning and reading some of the conference-approved books that are kind of outside the normal purview in AA. It just didn't make any sense to me that I was taken off the steps when I'd slipped. And you know, that first slip question is where you're identifying, you know, the myriad parts of the brain. I remember medulla oblongata, having answered that question so many times. And so When I got abstinent, finally, I just decided that when I had sponsees who were ended up slipping, that I was just going to keep them on the steps, you know. So if somebody was right in the middle of the 30-day questions and they slept on day 17, I just was going to keep them, you know. We start all over in terms of your abstinence, but, you know, you're just going to be answering question 18 the next day. And that was just how I rolled, and it made sense to my brilliant sponsor, and my sponsor has also has a brilliant sponsor, so I'm part of a lineage of good sponsorship, so it, you know, it wasn't like I was out there in the hinterland kind of coming up with my own plan here. My sponsor, it made sense to her, and so this is what I did. So finally, at one point, I was invited to do I'd done a workshop at one of the Howe retreats, and then I was invited to do a workshop at the office, right, at the Raisi office. And I thought, okay, so, and Ray said that she was going to be there, because I had also, you know, intergroup and things, and so I'd, you know, had some conversations with her, so I knew she was going to be at this workshop, and I thought, okay, am I going to play it safe, or am I going to show up at this workshop and just really kind of tell the truth about what I do in terms of how I program when people flip? I thought, you know, I might as well just tell it like it is. So, you know, I don't know, there were 40, 50 people at this workshop, and I remember, and it was a tiny little office. Ray was a tiny, tiny, you know, she's a tiny, tiny woman. I mean, she has such a big presence, or has had a big presence in my mind, and perhaps in yours as well, but she's just tiny, like, tiny little thing. And I remember she was sitting way in the back of the room, sitting, and as I recall, it seems like she had her arms folded, I don't know. But, you know, so I told this very, very thing. I said that when people slip, I just keep going on the steps, because if steps are what is going to solve our problem, why in the world would I want to take somebody off the steps if they're struggling with the problem again, right? So I finished my workshop, right, and some people, you know, people are kind of nervous, right, as I've shared that, because that just wasn't anything that people were in too much of a conversation about anyhow. And see how. And so I remember, you know, the moderator said, does anybody have any more questions? And nobody did. And then Raisi got up, and I just remember her walking up the aisle. And I literally can see myself standing there. I remember what I was wearing. And I thought, oh, my God, she's coming up. She's going to kick me out of CEA Howe. She's going to very publicly shame me and kick me out of CEA Howe because of what I just shared. And I remember she came up, and she hugged me. And she said, wasn't that a wonderful workshop, something wonderful like that. And then she leaned in, and she whispered in my ear, and she said, I've never liked those slip questions either, and I think you should definitely keep doing what you're doing, right? And I said to her, I said, Ray, you need to say that publicly, right? You need to say that publicly. And she did. I mean, she said it to the, she ended up saying it to the group. I said, but you need to put that out in CEA Howe. And she said, no, I can't do that. She said, but I'm just telling you, I've never liked those slip questions either. So so then I felt really vindicated, right, because I'd gotten that from Raisi. And I kept progressing with my abstinence. And at some point, I had finished whatever series of questions, right, because I sponsor at all levels. And my sponsor, right, my brilliant Susie sponsor, had this profound idea to assign me to do slip questions just for the heck of it, because she'd listened to me over the years kind of complain about these slip questions. And because I'm a good sponsee, right, I don't argue with sponsors or cops. That's one of the great things about having, you know, come from a family of alcoholics, right, as I have a real healthy respect for authority figures. So when my sponsor, in her wisdom, right, and probably her humor, decided to assign the slip questions to me, I just did those slip questions. And I have to tell you, I had the most profound spiritual experience in doing those slip questions. And what I realized is that anytime I'm doing exactly what my sponsor wants me to do, asks me
3 minutes.
Thank you so much. I am working the steps. I'm certainly working steps 1, 2, and 3 because I'm acknowledging that I'm powerless and my life is unmanageable because I need to get advice from somebody about what to do in my life, and that desire for sanity, right, that I want to to be healthy, and I want to be open-minded and vulnerable, and then giving my will and my life by actually following through and doing what I've been asked to do. So that, you know, it was just it felt like a really wonderful sense of how beautiful the program is, right? And it all works, right? If you've got a sponsor who wants you to do slip questions when you're slipping, you're still working the steps. If you've got a sponsor like me who's just going to keep you on the step work, despite the fact you might be right in the middle of a four step, I mean, I've done those painful four steps when you're in the food and doing a four step, but then you're working the steps. I mean, so it's just that holiness that it all works, right? In the same way that TEA How works, OA works, right? You know, I guess Weight Watchers works for Jennifer Hudson. I mean, it all works. I'm definitely not somebody who says any place is the last house on the block. I just know that for me, CEA How, and it's such a holy, wonderful place, and I love the structure. And then just the last little story I'll tell you is when it was at one of the conferences we do before the convention, and there was a big conversation about gum chewing, and Ray was not a fan of the gum chewing, and I had a real problem with gum, and I had to stop chewing gum. And she said, I want you to come and second it for me, she said, because I want to put a motion out there. I want us to take gum out of the program. I don't think we should be chewing gum. And I said, well, Ray, I'm sorry, I can't go, you know, I can't go and do that. I'll be at the convention, but I can't go and, you know, be a delegate or whatever the title is. And I said, but Ray, anybody will second that for you, especially if you believe in that. Just go out there and put it out there. And she said, oh, I can't do that. I don't want to do that. I said, Ray, why not? She said, because then everybody will think this is, you know, this is the way it should be because I think it's so. And I just was always so struck, and Richard alluded to that, to how gentle and humble and vulnerable she was, and not feeling that this was her program and her show to run, but that, you know, it was our loving responsibility, all of us. And so, yeah, it was truly a pleasure to have had that experience with her. It's just a lovely, holy little dynamo, but she wanted to empower us all, as, you know, as we are all powerful people. As we've accessed that great reality deep within, like the big book talks about. So thanks. It's really a pleasure to have been on the call. Thank you so much. Really a pleasure to have been here. And again, I thank you, Susie, and thanks, everybody, for being here.
Thank you, Sheila. And I wanted to add to the story, I think Sheila did another workshop about chronic relapsing, and she shared what she does when she works with someone who's in relapse. And someone said, got out the sponsor guidelines, it says right here, we do da 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 da, you know, on and on and on. And someone kind of looked at Ray, and a couple of people said, Ray, you're here, and, you know, here she comes. And she said, if someone has done slip questions 10,000 times and other questions, you know, we have to do what it takes to get someone out of relapse, I think was more or less what she said. And I remember that. I remember that. She said, you know, sometimes we have to do other things to help someone. Thank you, Sheila. Our next speaker is Stephanie. Come on down, Stephanie.
Hi, everyone.
Hi. How would you like your 10 minutes, Stephanie?
Oh, it's not going to be 10 minutes, but maybe. Just do 5 and 5 right now.
Okay. Take it away, Stephanie.
Hi, everybody. My name is Stephanie. And I've been listening to all you wonderful shares. I did not know Fred. I missed Fred because we came into the program, Stu and I came into the program, it's almost 12 years ago. It's 11 years, exactly. It'll be 11 years, 10 months, and 11 days ago. And I picked a sponsor, and all I wanted to do, they say on your program that you need 3 meetings a week. Well, I thought to myself, being a compulsive person, if I had 3 meetings a week, 5 would be much better. So every meeting we went to, it was more than the 3. And calling up people, I did make my outreach calls, and I was able to share at one meeting at the old Santa Fe building, Santa Fe Springs building, upstairs on the second floor. And I was talking about my, I was doing my inventory at the time, and I made mention that I can't understand why this little old lady made these weird questions. Why would I think that my compulsive overeating would be caused if I saw my parents naked? And everybody laughed, and then I said, okay, because I had to, and after writing about it so many times, I have to blame it on myself or the disease that I have. I, at the first couple of meetings, I would sit there and look at people and have my arms folded, and I won't even say my name. And but going back to the Santa Fe meeting and saying, did that little old lady write these awful questions? And we had a break time, and the little old lady came over to me and said, who's the little old lady? I'm Ray Z. I didn't write those questions. So we became very fast friends, and Stu and I became in a group rep. We were there every Sunday, well, every month on a Sunday. Never missed one. And then we would go over to Ray Z's house and tell her about all the meetings, how much money we gave to World Service, how much money we gave to Area 1. She was very interested. But Richard never said this. This was the funniest story, too. Richard and Ted used to pick Ray Z up, and we would wave and say goodbye, and Richard would park right in the middle of the street, run out of the car, and get Ray and put her in the back or in the front. And we would wave goodbye and go. Sometimes we would go to that meeting, and we would go out to dinner, and Ray and I used to share a meal. And she was amazing. We sat opposite one another at the convention, and she was always there. And one year, I wanted to be a model, but I didn't have enough time and grade, I guess. And I couldn't do it. And Ray even went out to the chair of the committee and said, we need her to be a model. And apparently, well, I was helping. I wasn't a model that year. Ray's an amazing lady. We used to pick her up on Wednesday. The old-timers, shouldn't say that, but the old-timers would meet after the Wednesday meeting. So Stu and I would pick her up, and we would all go out to lunch after the meeting and sometimes stay at the meeting. She was an amazing lady, like I said, and the two of us are better for knowing her, and I can't believe one of our best friends are gone. I do miss her, and that's about it.
Thank you, Stephanie. Okay, I will be our next speaker, but before I start speaking, I'd just like to tell everybody that this is being recorded, and if you'd like to listen to it later or tell others that it's being recorded, I'm going to give out the recording number line, and I'll give it out again at the end. To listen to this recording, dial 641-715-0744. I'll repeat that. 641-715-0744. And the access code is 521-387. I'll say that again, 521-387. It will then ask for a reference number. And the reference number for this recording is 14#. If you go to it immediately after this is over, if you push the pound sign a second time, you'll get this recording. However, we're going to record the Area 10 assembly here. So remember, it's 14# for the Ray Z Memorial. Okay, now, Beth, if you would kindly please give me, a three-minute warning to wrap up, and then a 10-minute warning. I'm Suzanne. I'm a grateful compulsive eater, and I've been around, it'll be 16 years in April, and my then-sponsor had 12 years of abstinence at that time, and I said, oh, yeah, Ray Z this, Ray Z that, and Fred, and I'm thinking, who's Fred, who's Ray? And then I guess when I'd been abstinent a couple of months, Ray came, and I found out Fred had passed away, right? And Ray shared at my home meeting in Santa Monica. And I went over there and thanked her afterwards, and she said, honey, are you doing service? And I said, yes, not at this meeting, but I do service at two smaller meetings. Okay, honey, you do service. And then I would call her from time to time, and I would see her at different events and different things, and she asked me, you know, when are you going to carry the message to the other blind people? And I said, I'm working on it, but our literature is not, available in audio or braille. She said, well, honey, you have to work on that. She never told me how to work on it, but she said, you have to work on that. And then I remember my mother was very ill once. Well, many times, but this one time I called her, and she said, how's your mother? And I said, she's very ill, and I don't know. And this was not her last illness. It was probably second to her last illness. And she said, well, you know, honey, even though your mom is ill in the hospital or she passes away, you still have to work your program, and you have to do service. She said, I did when my husband died. It helped me. So she said, you just keep doing service, and you keep doing your spot, you keep sponsoring, and anything you can do, you don't give that up. And I remember when I had my mom's last illness, I was still taking sponsee calls. I would sleep in the hospital, listen to a phone bridge meeting. Ray was not too big on phone bridge, but she came to accept that it was a necessity for a lot of people. I would listen to a phone bridge meeting, I don't know if it's 2:30 or 4 in the morning, and I'd be with my mom. And even on the day that she passed away, I took sponsee calls, and that was helpful to me. It got me out of myself, and I did that. And then when I had a very involved surgery, I took sponsee calls the day I had surgery. I could barely speak, and I was groggy, and I was like, But it helped me, and I could hear Ray saying, well, you have to keep doing service, even if you're sick. You know, she's, balance, we still do it. But I remember thinking, I had to exert so much energy listening to my sponsees that it helped me get out of my pain. They probably did me a lot more good than I did them that day. But that's what I did, because Ray was that example of you do service. But she also told me, make sure you take care of yourself first. Put the oxygen mask on first. So I did do that. So it was not a surprise. I think it was, a little less than a year later that the Southern California Intergroup was celebrating an anniversary, and it was going to be Ray Z's 90th birthday. And Ray had not gone to the L.A. Intergroup luncheon, which she usually did. And a very good friend of hers, who actually drafted me into service beyond the meeting level, said to me, well, yeah, I know why. And she said Ray's son had passed away, and she couldn't go to the intergroup anniversary. But she says, please don't say anything, because she doesn't want people to know, because she's going to show up. She doesn't want it to be about her and her loss. She wants to celebrate the program. She wants to celebrate the intergroup. And sure enough, Ray was there. They celebrated her 90th birthday. She was wearing purple, and she did not say one word about her son passing. That's who Ray was. It was very much, you suit up and show up, and she did. And then lastly, I did start, someone did approach me and said, you know, here's what you do if you want to start a special needs committee. You have to become an area rep and a delegate. And I had someone mentor me doing those things. And then the person mentoring me said, then once you become a delegate, we'll write a motion on your behalf at the business conference. And that's how this is going to get going. And that's what we did. And I called Ray and I told her that someone had helped me finish my step work because they were kind enough to put the steps on a CD for me. And she said, you have to run with this. You have to go with this. And I'm like, yeah. She says, yeah, this is good, good. She says, you gotta get this out there, and you got to go open a meeting with the blind people. And I said, well, I think there was a meeting at the Braille Institute, and it got closed. She said, well, you got to open another one. You got to do this. And I said, well, I think these have to be submitted through World Service first. And she said, I am World Service. That's what she said. And I thought, well, I laughed, and I thought, well, he gets a little more involved than that. But that's what she said. She was very enthusiastic. So we started that. We do have some the first 30-day questions available in audio, and some of the stuff's available in large print and Braille. So it has happened. And then lastly, I was going to get married, and I told her that I saw Ray. I think this is the last conference she went to. I saw her, and I told her I was getting married. She's, oh, good. When do I get to meet him? And I said, tonight, because he's coming to the talent show. She says, well, I want to meet him. I want to make sure he's okay. I want to approve of him. And then she grabbed my arm, and she says, honey, you better be good to him, or I'll take him away from you. And I laughed. So later that night, I took my future husband over, and she looked him over, and she said, yep, good choice. And he met her, and he thanked her for all that she had done, being important in my life and to many people. And then I invited her to the wedding. And this was, and I'm going to finish. I'm not going to take all 10 minutes, I don't think. I said, hey, I'm going to get married, and I'd like you to come. And she said, well, you do know I'm 96. I said, yeah, I know. And she said, well, who's coming? And I said, I named the people. She said, oh, well, it's going to be difficult. And I said, you know, if you can't come, I understand. She said, but I want to come. She was like, well, don't uninvite me. And I said, no, you're invited. And she says, we'll have to see, but thank you for inviting me. I do want to come.
Three minutes.
Thank you, Beth. But it was just kind of funny how she thought I was taking it. The last story I can tell is I went to a workshop at the Southern California Intergroup, and I think it was $15 they were asking for a donation, and I gave her a $20 bill, and I wanted it to be a $5 donation besides the $15. I said, here. She said, I don't have change. And I said, no, keep the change. And I think she thought I was trying to pull something over, like, well, you know. And I said, no. I said, it's keep the change. She says, I don't have the change. And I said, oh. I said, Ray, this is a donation. I came here. I want you to keep the $20 bill. It's a donation because of all that I've gotten out of CA Health. Oh, okay. She was very, and I think this is important to know, she was very much a business person and the bottom line. And she wouldn't turn anybody away from the workshops if they couldn't pay, but she was all about, you know, making sure that the intergroup was in the black and not the red. And the other thing that someone shared with me the other day is, I have to, and this, I can't, anonymity, but someone said to me, I'll always respect Ray because she always paid her own way. She never expected to go to an event and not pay. She paid her own way. And that was very important to her because she'd also say, financial security. She wanted to start another program. that was going to be her new primary purpose. What is your purpose? And then, are you financially secure? But, you know, I was asked to share at her memorial on behalf of the Special Needs Committee, but she's gone and Fred is gone, as Bill and Dr. Bob. but the program continues, and we must continue to suit up and show up and carry the message, pass it on, and remember her words, what can I do for you? So the next time you're in an intergroup meeting or a face-to-face meeting or a phone bridge meeting and no one's doing service, think about it. Take that pause and please consider service, because without it, we'll die. And I know that for me, without the program, I'll surely die, if not physically, emotionally and spiritually, and perhaps physically. So please consider being of service. Think of Ray, what can I do for you? Thank you for letting me share, everybody. Now we're going to open it up for open sharing for 3 minutes. And remember, it is being recorded. We're not leaving phone numbers. Would someone like to share? Star 628.
This is Marcia in Seattle.
Go ahead, Marcia.
Hi, everyone. My experience, I'm laughing and crying and laughing and crying, but I came into the rooms of OA HAL in 1973. And back then, we were called food babies at first, and we did the, first, but years and years and years, we just had the grapefruit. So I didn't really understand. When I came in, I thought it was a diet, and my mother was there. And as soon as it said something about the Big Book, well, we never went back. And so that was like in 71. I have to tell you, and what my experience has been, is that when God calls you into the rooms for compulsive eating, he called me into these rooms in 1973. And what I have come, what God has given me is that he said to me very quietly several months ago, he goes, Marcia, I've called you to this program. And I called you to these programs in OA going 45 years ago. And he said, I have not changed my mind. And it evolved. I didn't understand about the questions. I didn't know. But I came back in 1978 and was in San Francisco, and there was hundreds of people there. And afterwards, we were in a Donna Hall, and we got out all of our food and had long tables, I lost the weight. I lost over 100 pounds, and we had the gray sheet, but I didn't really understand about the program. I went back out, gained another 100 pounds. I tried to go back to OA a few times, but by then they just had no food plan, and then the dignity of choice. I have come in at 45 years ago, and I don't know how to work this program without doing gray sheet. Of course, now everything has evolved, but so I remember not be able, my last time before I asked for a sponsor in regular OA, she said, well, you can call me once in a while and let me know what you're doing, how you are, and I said, well, that's not going to work. So in February of the next year, come back in 1996, and a couple of, some of you probably know Ruth Lowe, and she come up and she said, we have OA HAL, and I'd like you to come back and do OA HAL. Now, I came back in, I weighed 372 pounds. One of the things about the program is that as soon as I walked into the room of OA HAL, they said they needed they needed a secretary. I said, I can do that. Went to another meeting. They said, we need a treasurer. I said, I could do that. Fast forward.
It's been 3 minutes. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
You can finish your story.
All right. What's interesting is that I was in OA HAL for years and years. I had a relapse and gained back 136 pounds. We had OA HAL and we had CA HAL. Ruth Lowe brought CA HAL. So we just had meetings in the same building on different days, and we just knew that there was a recovery at OA HAL at the time. We had hundreds of members. And I evolved And God called me back into the rooms of CA Hall. And, of course, we had the phone bridge. And I just hit the running. But I tell you, Fred S. came up and did a workshop two summers in a row. And one of the first things he said, anybody have any questions or want to talk about their program? And he says, well, how much service are you doing? And I, you know, rattled off a whole bunch of service. And he says, Marcia, there is balance. You're a service junkie, and you really need to talk about that. And I talked to him afterwards, and he laughed. And the next year he says, well, Marcia, how you doing? How much service are you doing? And I laughed, and I talked with him. And I never really followed up with him. We were going to have another workshop, weekend workshop, but then we found out he was dead. And so long story short, I came back and see how. I've been probably doing service and see how. But it's the one thing that I can do, regardless of how much I weigh, and that is, you know, start meetings. And anyway, thanks for letting me share. Sorry I went over. I'll mute.
Marcia. Thank you.
This is Shelly H. I'd like to share.
Thank you. Go ahead, Shelly. And who is the other person?
Adele.
Okay, first Shelly, then Adele. Go ahead, Shelly.
Hi, everybody. This is Shelly H., a compulsive eater in recovery. You know, back in the day before I live in the San Fernando Valley, before the San Fernando Valley had an inner group, we used to drive to Downey all the time. I came in 1989, and I immediately, after I got the time I needed, I became an inner group rep. We used to drive to Downey, and Ray used to talk, and we used to listen, and she was amazing. And I remember going to parties with Fred S. I had 5 years of abstinence back then. That was in 1989 to the 90s, but I left the program because of a relationship. And when I came back in, 2003, my abstinence wasn't perfect enough, and January 2nd, 2004 is my abstinence date. And so I used to call Ray like once a week or every other week, and I remember at a convention, this is what I remember vividly, she was like, I probably have it in my file drawer, she was on about, okay, now this is the new thing, and I want you to pass it on to everybody and share it at the room. We have to take care of ourselves emotionally, spiritually, physically, and financially. You need to pass this on. You need to tell everybody. She says, I'm in my 90s, and I've done all this, and I want to carry this message. And, she was a wonderful, wonderful woman. She always spoke the truth. She always asked what kind of service I was doing. And she really was wonderful. She was very brave, very giving, and stubborn and determined, but very humble. And I was very, very lucky a couple years ago. I was in Vegas.
1 minute.
And thank you. I didn't have a ticket for the dinner, and I was a little strapped financially, and I went up and I asked, can I bring my weight and measure food in? And and the person said, no, actually, I want you to have, because I had a bit of time. Rachel didn't come. You may have her ticket. And I was so touched by that. And, I loved her. And I just loved her. And may she rest in peace. And thank you for all the work that you've done. And that's basically all I want to share. But I really remember her on about that. Take care of yourself emotionally, spiritually, and physically. Yep, we saw eye to eye because we were both short, so we understood each other. So anyways, thank you for letting me share, and thank you, everybody, for your shares.
Thank you, Shelly. And just before Adele shares, when I told her I was getting married, she did tell me one thing, and it's really important. She said, honey, I always made sure I had time for my family, even if you're doing tons of service. So she said, always make sure you have time for your husband. Put him first. Put your abstinence first and then put him kind of there. You have to have the abstinence. Put your husband first. Service is third. And she says, because that's the way you have to do it. Family is important. Your husband's important. Okay, Adele, you're up.
Hi. Thanks, Suzanne. Thanks, everybody, for being all the speakers, Adele, Compulsive, Alita, Belina. Yes, I had the privilege of meeting Ray Z, and I remember the last convention that she was at, I think it was the last convention, she was saying that we are the keeper of this program. So, you know, if we, you know, pretty much saying if we, something is going awry at a meeting, you know, we need to talk about it, you know, in a business meeting. And also I got a chance to make outreach calls to her, and I remember one time she answered the phone. I think she said this is the White House or something like that. So she had a sense of humor. And at the last convention, we did thank you. We had thank you cards on all the tables, and everybody got a chance to write, you know, a thank you note to her. And I don't know whether she ever got the cards because, you know, she passed away, I think, that halfway through August, and, you know, the convention was the end of July. But, you know, I know she felt it in the spirit, all the thank yous that we wrote that night. I think it was Friday night and Saturday night we wrote thank you notes to her. And, I'm just, you know, grateful to be in her presence and stuff. And you know, I was, you know, I know she didn't make it to the last three conventions, you know, the one that somebody just mentioned, and the other two she wasn't able to mention to make it to. And I remember calling her, and I was asking her, the convention 2000. I'm sorry, I'm not used to talking with my ear up against the phone. I'm used to talking with the speaker. I called to ask her whether she was going to come to the convention 2017, and she was saying that she wasn't going to be able to make it. But, I know if she could have made it, she would have made it. And so I went to all of her memorials, and it's the first time I ever spoke. And I'm just so grateful that she was the co-founder, and I was able to pick up that her story at the first memorial they had in September. It was amazing, her life story. She's going to be missed, but I'm grateful that she did do this program and service, you know. And if the last memorial, the last celebration of life I went to last month, they talked about service.
1 minute.
Okay, thank you, Beth, that she, you know, was so high gear with service that I ended up picking up another service position that I was thinking about for a while. So I went on and picked it up probably 2 weeks ago, because service is really important. And, you know, and also, if I'll just put a pitch out there for the convention, they really need people to step up for the convention. So be of service, and you know, it takes a village to put on a convention, and we are the village. And you can send an email to seehowconvention2019@gmail.com. Thank you, everybody, for being here and being part of my recovery.
Thank you, Adele. Is there anyone else who would like to share?
Hi, Lily. This is Jerry, compulsive eater.
I heard Jerry, and who is the other person?
Lily, I'd like to say a couple words.
Okay, first Jerry, then Lily. Go ahead, Jerry.
Thank you, Suzanne. Thank you to everyone that's shared, too. I just love hearing all the memories. And, yes, I'm so grateful. When I first got to the program, I was living in Whittier, California, and I did not meet Ray at my first meeting, but I did meet her at my second, and she was certainly one of those people that, she was small in stature, but she really had a presence about her, and I'm so grateful that I got to know her, and just really appreciate all the work that she did to make our program what it is. And she's always going to be, just such a blessing in my life. And she would be very, kind, gentle, and patient with everyone she met, although she would get her point across. And so I'm really grateful. My first 4 months of abstinence was spent there in going to the meetings, and I would see her often at that time. And when I did end up moving, I, of course, eventually ended up here in Seattle. I think it was about 5 months after I started the program. I was really concerned about traveling, and, I think I did ask her for some words of wisdom on moving out of my comfort zone. Of course, that was my foundation there with the meetings, and learned about the phone bridge. And then when I did finally settle here in Seattle, I asked her if she'd rather I go to OA meetings or if I go to AA meetings. And I always remember she didn't say anything negative about the OA program at all, but she said that she would much rather me go to open AA meetings. And that's exactly what I did. And now I have a better understanding of why she made that statement, and I'm really grateful. I'm so grateful that, you know, she was a very good example for so many of us. And, I'm just really grateful I got to know her. And what a blessing. This program saved my life, so I'm just really grateful for Ray Z and for Fred S. and all the work they did to make this program what it is. So thank you for letting me share, and I will pass.
Thank you, Jerry. Lily, go ahead.
Hi, thank you. I got into the program January 14, 1988, and 3 weeks later, there was a beautiful celebration over at St. Gregory's Catholic Church. I think it was in Santa Fe Springs. My first 15 years in program was down there in that area, and also in Long Beach. I came from Long Beach, and I got to meet Ray that was the first time I saw Ray. I saw her for years at the bank in Downey, and also, you know, not only saw her, I was, you know, we always talked. And anyways, but regardless of that, I remember the first meeting, and someone said, and I was so excited. It was like day 16 for me and on my questions, and I was so excited. I was just brimming with excitement. And then they said, the co-founder is here, and, you know, and one of the people brought me up to meet her, and I said, oh, I was just over the top. I said, oh, I just feel like I want to kiss your feet for what you've done for all of us, and I've never felt like this. I didn't know anything about 12-step. This is my first, this program is my one and only encounter with 12-step at that time. I didn't know what 12-step was, so I didn't know what was really happening to me. All I knew was I was so happy. I felt so free. And I said, I want to kiss your feet. I said, I feel like I have to kiss your feet for this. And Ray is a person, a no-nonsense person, don't put me on a pedestal, honey, type of person with a sense of humor. And she just looked me in the eyes, and she said, just make sure you're still here 6 months from now, honey. And I was like in shock. I thought, wow. I mean, I expect all kinds of flowery things from her because I'm kind of a flowery person. After all, my name is Lily. So, and she was like, no nonsense. And
1 minute.
I'll just really quickly tell you another wonderful thing she said to me, and I used to call her on outreach. I used to call her on outreach whenever I felt like I've got to go to the authority, and of course, we all know that she didn't consider herself the authority at all, but she was there, she was solid, and I would call her whenever I kind of felt like maybe somebody was not doing the program correctly, and they would tell me something about how they're compulsively eating and doing their questions or at the same time, and I would get outraged. I would say, you can't be doing that. You have to be doing your slip questions while, you know, that's what I thought. Anyway, I called her up one day, and I said, I told her about this, and she said, well, honey, she said, there's some people who do the program right, and there's some people who do the program wrong. She was so... And she wouldn't tell me what that was. And, you know, it was her humor. It was all, she was very humorous and in a very, very no-nonsense way. And I love you, Ray Z. Thank you so much for what you did for me and all of us. And I pass.
Thank you, Lily. Anyone else who'd like to share?
This is Beth. I'll share.
Thank you, Beth.
Hi. I don't know if I ever personally spoke with Ray Z. I joined CHOW in February 3rd, 2011, and I went to convention a year or two later, and one year as a delegate, and I saw her in person, and she, in her physical presence was quite a tiny lady. She got assisted up to the podium where all the board members were sitting, and she just barely, her head just barely was over it. And I was like, whoa. It's one of those things you hear, you know, of what you imagine what people might look like based on their personality or their tone of voice. But she was a very beautiful woman in spirit, and you could tell she just had so much positivity and fortuitousness and perseverance. And she would talk about, you know, the power of service and the importance of being of service. And then she ended to remember to say, and you are beautiful. She's like, no matter what, just remember you are beautiful. And that has stayed with me. The second year as a delegate, she was not able to make it, and they played a video that they had videotaped in her home, and she was able to share her experience, strength, and hope to those of us who were the delegates being of service at world level. And so I think it's just a great opportunity for people to share their experience, strength, and hope at all levels. And I'll put a plug in, be of service as much as you can, and don't be afraid of being an intergroup rep or a delegate. We need you. We need us. I need you. We need each other. And it's really important to remember, as Raisi said, you are beautiful. Thanks.
Thank you, Beth. Anyone else who'd like to share?
Yes, I'm Elizabeth, compulsive eater. I'd like to share.
Go ahead, Elizabeth.
Oh, thank you so much. You know, I'm just so grateful that I had this little, like the twinkle of an eye of Raisi when I went to my very first convention, and I was 5 months in abstinence, one day at a time, and it was all new to me, and I even brought my lunch because I, you know, I said I can't do this or do that. And there's Raisi, I had actually outreached her and talked to her, and I I was trying to, you know, everything was new for me, everything. My see how my weight, my one date at time, my wonderful sponsor at the time, and I was going to sing this song, and I thought, well, I better run it past her first. Was in memorial to a woman that she knew, that everyone knew, and I actually met her. Actually, with my second convention, I met Raisi. My first convention, I think that was 2016, was my second one. But I met a woman who passed away, who wrote the lyrics, and sometimes I sing The Abstinence of Mine, and it was written. It says written by Claudette with love. And I sang to Raisi on the phone this song, me and her, just me to her. And then I had the privilege of meeting her, and I was so grateful to meet her and just to say hello and talk to her. She was a little bit demure at that time and quiet, but she said something very important. She said, now don't forget to let everyone know that Claudette wrote that. I said, I absolutely will, and I always do. And I'm just ever so grateful to have met the first time, and Raisi the second time. Thank you.
Thank you, Elizabeth. I don't know if you want to sing the song at the end in about 20 minutes or 30 minutes. I have not asked you to do that, but I don't know if you're prepared. Think about it.
Well, gee whiz, it would be spontaneous, and I haven't sung the song in about a year. But I'll do my best.
Would you like to sing it now or in a few minutes?
I'll sing it really fast right now, just
okay.
While I have the nerve. I always have to pray for courage because that's one of my shortcomings, is the courage to carry through. This is called This Abstinence of Mine, written by Claudette. And my phone is low, and so I hope I don't lose any of you. This abstinence of mine, it's truly sublime. Oh, this abstinence of mine is truly sublime. This abstinence of mine, it's truly sublime. And it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. Sugar and flour, no! I had to let it go. Oh, sugar and flour, no! I had to let it go. Sugar and flour, no! I had to let it go. Let it go, 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 go. Ask any sponsor now. They will tell you how. Ask any sponsor now. They will tell you how. Ask any sponsor now. They will tell you how. Yes, it's how, see how. Weigh and measure so the pounds can steadily go. Oh, weigh and measure so the pounds can steadily go. Weigh and measure so the pounds can steadily go. They will go from head to toe. This abstinence of mine makes my personality shine. Oh, this abstinence of mine makes my personality shine. This abstinence of mine makes my personality shine. Abstinence is a gift divine. Food's not in control when I do just as I'm told. Oh, food's not in control when I do just as I'm told. Food's not in control when I do just as I'm told. And I'm told and told and told. When defiance rules my mind, there's no thought of my behind. When defiance rules my mind, there is that on my behind. When defiance rules my mind, there is that on my behind, that on my brain, I feel insane. So, this abstinence of mine, it's truly sublime. Oh, this abstinence of mine, it's truly sublime. This abstinence of mine is truly sublime, and it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. Thank you for allowing me to share this.
This is dedicated to our beloved Coast Monster. Thanks, Elizabeth. That was wonderful. Who else would like to share? It's star 6 to unmute.
I'm Lynn. I don't think I can be intelligent after that beautiful song, but can I try?
Go for it.
Thank you. Thank you to everybody on the line, and thank you to Ray Z for inspiring us and for leaving us a legacy that, with this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I wish I could write music. What's the point? I've been in program 49 years, walked the rooms with Ray Z, and had a chance at this for a long time, for a long time. And I'm into just entering my 10th year of abstinence, but I believe that her legacy, what really stands out most to me is how can I help? I'm paraphrasing. How can I help you? How can I help? What can I do? And that spirit was in the rooms when I was walking them in the 80s and the 90s, and people were living them then. And shining them on me. And I believe that her example down there in Downey was one of the reasons I'm still here. I know it is. And if you're new and you're on this line, I don't think there's any better program than CEA How. I really, really, really don't. And I almost died of obesity. And I thank Racy. I know she's with us on the line today. I thank her. I thank her for being, from my perception, less self-will, less stubborn, more giving than me. And I thank her for staying when I strayed and when I stopped weighing and measuring, because I never got more than 5.5 months. And I don't think I went up to people. Except maybe,
1 minute.
Thank you. Except maybe to get, help them get a job. But I didn't go up and help them with their abstinence because I didn't know what abstinence was. I knew I had a higher power, and I knew I had a food plan, but that's all I knew. Thank you, Racy, for showing me the beauty of giving, that the joy is in the giving, and the joy is what can I bring to the situation, not what I can take. And yes, we are beautiful. We are beautiful from the inside out. It doesn't matter how much we weigh. We're here. Thank you, Suzanne.
Thank you, Lynn. Anyone else would like to share?
Yes. Hi, Susan. Compulsive eater.
Hi, Susan. Go ahead, Susan.
Thanks, Suzanne, Beth, and everybody on the line. I loved hearing the shares and people who had lots of direct contact with Racy. The message that I get and what I'm bringing away from today is that not only what can I do to help or how can I best serve, we pass it on. I get to pass it on. And I'm not Racy, and I'm not, you know, I won't mention any more names right now, but I'm me, and I have my own recovery, and I have my own ways of doing service. And sometimes I stray, just to use a word that I just heard, but sometimes I get off the beam because of ego and everything. But I get the message from Racy and from other people that came before me that we do get to pass it on. And this is a big program. You know, it might not be mighty in numbers, but this is a big recovery, and I'm learning more about tolerance and differences, and I'm also learning that we're all the same in being compulsive eaters. And you know, the spark that I have is another spark, and then I get to pass that on, and other people get from me. But it doesn't come from me. It comes from other people in the program, and ultimately it comes from higher power. I think that's the message that I'm getting, and I need to get it every day. I need to hear it, and then I need to pass it on. It's not about my ego. It's about recovery and freedom from compulsive eating and building a life and living a life. So I've been around for 12 years, and I would like to be around for 12
1
and
minute.
12 and 12. So, anyway, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. Who else would like to share? Star 6 to unmute. Okay, last chance before we close. Anybody has any closing thoughts or anything else? All right, well, I'd
Suzanne,
like to...
Suzanne, yes? This is Stephanie. Can I read a poem?
Yeah, where's the poem from? Does it read pertaining to Ray?
Yeah. I read it at the other memorial.
Oh, that's right, yes. Go ahead and read it. Thank you,
Stephanie. Okay. This is Stephanie again. I wish you enough. I wish you enough, son, to keep your attitude bright, no matter how gray the day might appear. I wish you enough rain, not in California, to appreciate the sun even more. I wish you enough happiness to keep your spirits alive and everlasting. I wish you enough pain so the smallest of joy in life may appear bigger. I wish you enough gain to satisfy your wanting. I wish you enough loss to appreciate all that you possess. I wish you enough hellos. Oh, boy. I wish you enough hellos to get you through the final goodbye. That's Ray.
Thank you, Stephanie. Well, I'd like to thank everybody who was here and everyone who shared and everyone who's listening. And once again, if you'd like to listen to the recording or share it with someone, it will be available at 641-715-0744. I'll repeat that, 641-715-0744. The access code is 521-387. 521-387. And the reference number is 14 pound. 14 pound. And I leave you with this. Bill and Bob are not here. Fred and Ray are not here. It's no longer Fred and Ray's program. It is our program. And we must keep close to it, cherish it, share it, and work it. So please carry the message. And let's close with the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity.
To accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can,
and the wisdom,
to know the difference.
I will.
Amen. Peace. Remember, we are a global fellowship, so let's keep carrying the message.